For God so loved the world, he sent his only son to die for you. Stand up, please. We're gonna worship the Lord. Thinking back, I could have sworn you had abundant faith, but wait, that's not the case. As of late, I see your pain on your sleeve, plus it shows on your face. To believe or not to, everything you've been through is true. You lose a piece of your soul when you give control to those that oppose the narrow road. Sold to the lowest bidder, life's gotten the best of you, so now you're bitter. Figures don't lie, but liars sure can't figure. Looking in the mirror, the picture used to be more clearer. When I prayed, I felt the Lord drawing nearer. But nowadays, something's changed. The word of God can't be claimed like a prize. Can't win his love, can't redefine what you think is right. Bad is good, good is bad, that's all a lie. Everybody, what's really going on? Remember what he said, you're not alone, I carried you instead. This house is not a home, trying to make it on my own. These streets are way too cold. And the city really not so pretty, way too many pinching pennies, penny reasons to be thieving. Daddy's leaving, mama's scheming, I'm not mad, I'm getting even. I look at my life, I see no meaning, worst of all, I stop believing. My greatest sin is where I've been. Dear God, tell me when. How much longer? Make me stronger. More tomorrow than the day before. Drowning in my sorrow. Thank you, Lord. I see so clearly. I miss you dearly. I'm sorry that I strayed. Try to do things my own way. I'll do anything you say. Just take the pain away. Take the pain away.
What's really going on?
Eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right. He hears their cries. He collects their tears in a bottle. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Your love is better than life. I will honor you as long as I live. And in your name I will lift up my hands in prayer. My soul will be satisfied. I'll praise you with songs of joy. I'm struggling to tell the truth, not to myself but to you. Do as I say, not as I do. I guess that just won't do. I can't find the words to express the way the Maker makes me feel. Hearts are sealed to God revealed. I want to tell the world, but they don't even think that you're real. Like the last 2,000 years is all a lie. Proof is what you want, prove otherwise. I'm just afraid, afraid that day just might be today. And I don't want to lose you. You're not used to letting Christ work through you, rule you. What you gotta do is choose to see things from heaven's perspective. Looking back at my life, I'm life not quite what I expected. He left a piece of his soul when he had to go. Now every day when I wake, I continue to wait for your return. As I watch and pray, as I watch and pray. Jesus,
what's really going on?
Thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for us. In Jesus' name. Thank you.
As we're getting set up over here, can I get Moses and Gmo to make your way up here? Gentlemen, what we had in the beginning was kind of a little shock for you. My brother Gmo, we wanted him to share with us this morning. He's a gentleman that I actually met at one of these tables here a couple months back. For some of those that don't know him, Gmo, when I first met him, he was hurting a lot from an accident that he had. His back was torn up, and I saw him a couple days ago at Walmart, and I saw him again here today, and the Lord is healing him, and it's a testimony of how good God's grace is, and look at him now. I mean, gentleman is awesome. So we wanted to bring him up here on stage and just share about what he's doing. He's a part of a ministry called Crossfade Ministry. I've been to a couple of their events. It's a ministry geared towards the hip hop culture and the young urban culture, if you will. They minister to those young men. They have concerts, they have outreaches, and it's all about the gospel. So they give their talents, what the Lord has given them, to bring about the gospel. So we want to thank him for doing that. And actually, Moses is going to be speaking a little bit about that in order to lead into the message. So, all right.
Yes, Dean. All right. Wow, it's working. All right. Well, Moses Botella, for any of you who don't know me, is my brother Joshua. Go by Gmo. Should be on.
Well, oh yeah.
All right. So thank you for coming, brother. I'm blessed by
Thanks
every time
me.
I get to hear your ministry, man. I'm blessed. Tell us a little bit about the song, if you don't mind, where that comes from, or
I wasn't going to say this, but the first part of the song, I was talking about my mom, and really anybody who's gone to church and then they're like, it's not working, you know, and it's just, hold on, let me go to my notes. And mainly, I was talking about myself, really. Just, you know, I was going to church, and then I'd go home, and it'd be like, now what, Lord? It's just, I wasn't really seeking his will. I wasn't being obedient. I wanted it, that quick fix, you know, I'm going to go to church, feel good. And it just, and in the second verse, really, it's just, I kind of turn it around. I'm talking about myself and the stuff I've been through, and just starting to see that the pain that I'm in, it was for my own good, really. You know, and just thanking the Lord. And even now, I'm like, thank you, Lord, for the pain. And I never thought I'd be saying that, but I'm thanking him in tears. Thank you for, because without that pain, I never would have moved out here. I never would have been laid in bed on my back reading the Bible, seeking his will, just amen.
Amen. Wow. Everything give thanks, huh? I like how in your poetry style, spoken word, or hip hop, however you want to call it, you go from the first person to second and third, and I think of a lot of the Psalms that even David wrote. We hear him crying out to the Lord, and then he's talking to him personally, and just how his bones are crushed and just in pain and stuff like that. So tell me just a little bit about how did you even get into doing the spoken word or rap or hip-hop?
I can't sing, so I'm being serious. I wanted to sing so bad, and I used to have this karaoke, and it was horrible. And this is before rap was on the radio. I'm 43, so this is before radio was even on. I mean, rap was on the radio, and then my cousin was flowing, and it was F, and I'm like, no. So I started writing, and then I realized I was good at writing, and just, I kind of like forced myself to write. I didn't know how to, and then once I got into the word, it was like all these lyrics and words just started pouring out of me, and it's just a gift God's given me, and then I realized I had to use that gift.
So, is it forceful? I mean, how do you come up with these ideas?
It comes right out of the Bible. I mean, I'm quoting scriptures, Psalms, just, you know, it's weird. I'll listen to sermons, and then I'll write flows out of it. You know, I don't even listen to no secular music. I don't listen to no music, really. Right now, I just listen to people I know. All the people that are part of your ministry, and it's a long playlist.
The Lord's ministry. Yeah, I met my brother Gmo. It's been about a year and a half right now. When he moved into town, he came from, I don't even remember, Cali or something, but we met in the cafeteria here in the SoPo, and we started talking, and he's like, so what do you guys do? I seen the slide up there on the thing. I was like, well, we pretty much do outreach.
Wow, I had to find you.
Yeah. But we mainly do outreach is what we do, CrossFade. And we do a lot of like parks, maybe detention centers, or we used to go into a MCB, CDC, whatever that is. But anyways, wherever the Lord opens doors, and we don't charge, we don't, you know, ask for money, wherever the Lord opens, and there's a crew. I really don't even know how many guys, but there's, I don't know, 15 to 20 guys come and go, and there's always guys the Lord is bringing into the fold, and it's a blessing because, we have no money. That's not what we do. You know, but if you're ready to glorify the Lord, hey, we'll see if there's an available spot, and there you go. So it all comes from the Lord. So I think, is there anything else you want to share?
Just the Lord is good. And right along there, your message, obedience, it pays off. It may not like, oh, I've been obedient, Lord, for 2 days and, you know, nothing's happened. You got to be obedient like today and for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And you may not see it the way you want to see it because God's ways are not our ways. So.
Amen. All right. Cool. Thanks, brother. Okay, well, I know we prayed, but I'm going to open up prayer again. Lord Jesus, thank you so much, Lord, for this morning, Lord Father, for this group of men, Lord Father, that you've allowed to come here this morning, Lord Father. It's a beautiful day, Lord Father. We could all be doing a hundred other things, Lord Father, but I thank you, Lord Father, that you put on these men's hearts, Lord Father, to come early, Lord Father, and to hear from you, Lord, not from some foolish guy standing up here, Lord Father, but that we would hear from you, Lord Father. That we would hear from your word, Lord Father, that your spirit would pour through this place, Lord Father, that would fill this temple, Lord Father. We give this time to you, Lord Father. We thank you so much for everything that you've done, you're doing, and that you're going to do, Lord Father. Thank you for your goodness and mercy and your kindness, Lord Father, on us. In Jesus' name, amen. So I titled this message, Like Father, Like Sons. So again, I just want to stress how excited and how I'm just honored to be here. I would have never even imagined, I mean, just looking from this perspective, like, what am I doing here? I was a mess, man. So it really is an honor. And just to hear from other brothers that have gone up before me through the years. I've been coming to the Challenge ministry for a good 10 years now. And I'm telling you, man, this ministry, it's for me, I've gotten so much growth out of it, and I've been so blessed by it. So for me to be up here, I just feel like I really don't have anything to share. And it really is an honor. And I have a lot of respect for a lot of you guys out here because I've seen you walk. And the walk is a lot more important than the talk. You guys know that. So I thank you. So, anyways, I want to ask you guys, have you ever discovered something that was really cool? Something that was you would consider really, really amazing? Well, something small, I guess, when I was about 14 years old, me and a buddy, we were walking through the plaza, and through the corner of my eye, it was a parking lot, through the corner of my eye, I looked down, and I seen a $50 bill. It was a 50, and I was like 14. I seen a 50, and of course, I was like, I jumped right for that thing. And my boy, he was like, what was it? What was it? And he knew, you know, I didn't, whatever, just jump for, you know, penny or whatever. He's like, what was it? I was like, nothing. He's like, no, and he kept egging me on, and he just wouldn't get off me. So I was like, I found a $20 bill. And so I was like, I seen it too, and I was going to grab it, so I gave him like $5 or something. But anyways, for me, I mean, that was like, woo, even today, I don't even remember last time I had $50 in my wallet. But anyways, going to our first slide there. I don't know if you heard earlier this week, but there was a news article in CNN put out by NASA. And it said, potentially life-giving water still flows across the ancient surface of Mars from time to time. NASA scientists said Monday in revealing a potential breakthrough in both the search for life beyond Earth and human hopes to one day travel there. Then, in 1799, during Napoleon Bonaparte's Egyptian campaign, a French soldier discovers a black basalt slab. That is not brimstone, in case you all wondering, and it ain't come from no stone. A little Shrek humor then. Anyways, they found this basalt slab with ancient writing on it near the town of Rosetta. Yeah, that's the Rosetta Stone, found 35 miles north of Alexandria. So the irregularly shaped stone there contained fragments of passages written in three different scripts, Greek, Egyptian hieroglyphs, and the Egyptian script called the Demotic. Not demonic, Demotic. But anyways, it had three different variations of this. So this artifact held a key to solving a riddle of hieroglyphs that puzzled historians, archaeologists for years. And when they found this thing, it just opened up a whole, you know, language that had been dead for over 2,000 years. So that, you can imagine, that was a pretty big discovery back then in 1799. Well, a few weeks ago, Pastor Skip was given a message called Let Us Love Him. And he was focusing on 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. And if we read, we'll read about an amazing discovery that we can know for ourselves if we decide to embrace it. So, John, you have it on your tables there, but the first verse there is John chapter 3, verse 1. And it says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it did not know him. So I realized going into this, this is a kind of a hard subject for a lot of us, and me as well. For a lot of us, you know, perhaps we were raised in a dysfunctional home, or maybe, you know, your dad never really showed much love. I'm sure a lot of you guys never even heard the words "I love you" from your dad. Maybe he provoked you to wrath quite a bit. Maybe he left, you know, your mom to care for you and whatever other siblings you had. Maybe you never even knew him. But God's love is different. God's love is foreign to us. It's strange. The world is boggled by his sons. And because we're not normal, you know. I'm sure you've gotten that same feeling for a lot of us who've, you know, God is loving us. I believe that God's love is probably the biggest kept secret in the world. And it shouldn't be. It should be shared. It's what everybody yearns for. To be loved and to love unconditionally. Sometimes it's seen as we have a superiority complex. Maybe like we're looking down on our nose to other people and we don't mean it, right? I mean, this is how we walk. Because we walk with the Lord and in love. And, you know, I'm sure maybe some of you guys get like, oh, you're just, you know, you think you're better than everybody. You know, Mr. Goody, oh, here comes the Holy Roller. Just, you know, don't even, quiet with the dirty jokes or whatever. I'm sure a lot of you guys are familiar with that. Now, before Christ, I had a lot of friends, and a lot of us did. You know, if you had the BC days, partied with them, thugging with the homies. Got one of my brothers / homies right here in the house. Nice to see you, brother Adan. We actually known each other since like fourth grade or so, right, Adan? Yeah, it's kind of funny. I forgot you might even be here, but yeah, we did a lot of dirt back in the day, you know, just too much. I don't even want to have to mention that stuff, but you know, a lot of trash and filth, but you know, got high, drunk, and my thing was tripping, LSD, and just doing, you know, stuff that I shouldn't be. But I thought all that stuff was awesome, you know, fun, good times, right? Another little side note, I was a preacher's kid, and so with that, typically the MO is go the other direction, right? I grew up in, it was a pretty legalistic upbringing, and you know, I'm not going to fault anybody. It was just a tight type of church, and so with a lot of that, you know, we had the women had to wear dresses out here, no makeup, and guys' haircut, no earrings, no movies, no. I couldn't hang out with my cousins, the people around next door, because you know that dude smoked cigarettes and stuff. So it was pretty tight, and you know, going to school, you get that same, oh, that's that preacher's kid. And after a while, you kind of get tired of that. Like, man, I just wouldn't hang out and be like everybody else. So that's typically what happens, and so did with me. You know, I went the far end. So having one night, and in 1999, this is fast forward for a while, I had moved here in 1999. I was in my apartment, and we had some people over. We were partying, and same thing, you know, I was doing shrooms and acid and whatever else. I don't even remember. But this time, I overdid it quite a bit. I mean, I, you know, blacked out and didn't know where I was the next morning or whatever plenty of times, but this time I was done. I was on the ground, like paralyzed. I couldn't move. My heart was racing 100 miles an hour, and that was it, man. I just knew in my heart I was done. This was my last night. I knew I was gonna die in my muck right there. And my homies, my friends, right there, they didn't care. I was going to die in my muck, and I deserved it. Why? I wasted 15 years of my life, just threw it away. But God broke me in that moment. He broke me. He let me see how messed up I was. The world was feeding me lies that whole time, and I was letting it in. All that fun, all that freedom, that so-called freedom, it was killing me. I was killing myself. I knew God was real. I didn't want to give up my fun.
had my friends. I had my drink, my dope, whatever else. But God let me see that. He's like, this is what it's like. You know, this is what you wanted. You got it. He let me see it. Again, I had heard the word growing up. I knew God was real, but I wasn't walking it. I was sitting on that fence. I got to ask some of you guys, you know, are you there? I don't know. If you are, we need to step off that fence. A lot of us don't want to. It's hard, you know, while we're in that spot. But we got to get off that fence because we're not promised tomorrow. Life is a vapor. It vanishes tomorrow. God's got grace, but, you know, eventually we have to see Him. Looking back, those guys weren't my friends. All that dope, that freedom, it was a vice. I was locked. It was keeping me from knowing real joy, real peace in Christ. But you know what He says? He came to give us life. Give us life more abundantly. If you guys are struggling, man, we all struggle. Until we see the Lord, we're struggling with something. You know? But we're here. We're brothers, man. God made us for each other to come around and just do what we're doing. You know? That's why I love this group, man, because we don't have to, you know, put on a fake thing. God made us for each other. If you guys are dealing with something, you know, share it with your QB, or, you know, if you don't want to share it in your group, that's fine. Talk to one of your QBs in the end and say, hey, you know what's up? I'm struggling, man. I'm struggling with whatever. Porn. I'm fighting with my wife. Whatever it may be, my finances. God wants that, man. He wants that transparency, not just with Him. First with Him, right? We need to be open with each other. How are we supposed to pray for each other and bear one another's burdens? Jesus says, right, in Luke 9:23, says, whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. What does it profit a man that he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? I gave my life to Christ that night. That night I was melted on the floor. I couldn't even get up. He was merciful. My life was flashing before me. I seen all those instances in my life. It was a blessing. He let me cry out to Him. He forgave me. I gave Him my life. My life has never been the same. I've been walking for since 2001. 14 years. It's been an awesome ride, man. For a lot of you guys, you know that, what it's like to walk with the Lord. It's an amazing thing. The more time I spend with them, the more time I hang out with brothers like mine, getting in the Word, man, I just want to be more like Him. You know, it's funny sometimes, and please don't take this the wrong way, but when people will say, man, that's so cool, there's just something about you, I just like hanging out with you, you're just such a good person, and I have to quickly say, no, it's not me. If you would have known me 15 years ago, you'd been walking the other way. You know, just stay away from that dude. It's not me. It's Christ. Christ living in me. You know? As kids, you know, a lot of us, I'm sure, we all had a superhero. We wanted to, you know, be Superman or Batman, you know, Spider-Man. That's what I wanted to be. I was a husky little boy, though, so I, you know, that's kind of far-fetched for me. But, you know, and all those superheroes, you know, in the end, they get the bad guy, right? We rooted for him. We wanted to be like that. But you know what? We're that bad guy. We're all that bad guy, right? Romans 3:10, right? Y'all heard it says there's none righteous. No, not one. But Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates His own love toward us. And that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's huge, man. Right? You might die for your friend, your brother, your sister. When would you ever put your life on the line for some thug, some addict? It just doesn't make sense. That's part of why His love is so amazing, man. Just can't wrap my mind around that. Christ was that superhero. He's a superhero of all superheroes. Right? Come on, get him skidding. Amen for that. Hey, Aeneas, give him props. Jesus Christ. He had love for that man who whipped his back. He loved him. I don't get it. I still don't get it. For the man who placed the crown of thorns on his head. I can't imagine the evil that was in that man's face. Doing it, he's probably smiling. Jesus Christ loved that man too. You don't cry, but you know what? I don't care. I'm not ashamed. That man who pulled his beard, the guy who punched him in the face, the guy who stabbed him in the back, who betrayed him, that was me. That was a lot of us, right? All of us. That's some crazy love there. Or even crazy is he went to the cross willingly. He was obedient. He hung on that cross. It wasn't nails, right? We know that. It wasn't nails that held him there. It was love. Love for his Father, his Heavenly Father. A few weeks ago, Pastor Skip shared a story. I don't remember which teaching it was, but he was talking about a couple of teenagers. They were out partying, you know, and I'd say there's a couple guys, I don't remember exactly, but one of the guys didn't drink. He just wasn't doing that kind of thing. But the other one, he kept egging him on. You know, was like, hey, let's go, you know, dose him down. He's like, no, I'm good. I'll just come along, you know. And through the night, he just kept pressuring him. He was like, come on, man, just throw one back. What's one going to hurt? He's like, no, I'm good. I'm all right, you know. But again, he asked him one more time. He's like, come on, man, you punk or what? You scared? You scared your dad's going to hurt you? He's like, no, I'm scared I'll hurt my dad. Yeah, that hit me, man. Pastor Skip said that. You see, our obedience is in response to his love for us. It's not a chore. 1 John 5:3 says, but this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. In a quote by Oswald Chambers, he says, if there is something upon which God has put His presence, obey in that matter. Bring your imagination into captivity to the obedience of Christ with regard to it, and everything will become clear as day. I want to ask you guys, is God putting some pressure on you about something in particular? I mean, is it kind of faint back there? You know, but you know it's him. You know, and you're like, well, maybe I'll get to it one day or whatever. Don't ignore it, man. He's talking to you. Maybe he's talking to you right now about something. You know? Second Peter chapter 1, or verses 3 through 4. This set of verses, actually, these are my life verses. They're not the ones on your table there, but I like these, man, because it's a template for me. It's to live a successful, godly life. And it's something that I like to lean on. So if you try to follow along with it, I think it's on the screen there. It says, for His divine power has given us everything that we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, escaping the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. So, right there it says that He's given us everything we need. Our Heavenly Father has equipped us. He's given us everything to conquer all things. Just an example, He's given us His Son, right? Jesus Christ is an example. He walked on this earth in human flesh. He was tempted. You know, He struggled. But, you know, He gave Him as an example for us. And He gave us His Word. That, you know, in itself, we know in 4:12 it says, for the Word of God is more powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts through, man. It cuts through those lies in mids and, you know, those tails and stuff. It cuts right through. It's one of the powerful things we can have in our hearts, not just in our hand, right? And He gives us His Holy Spirit to be not just with us, but dwelling in us. His promises are huge. He says them, right? How many promises have we all broken? Right. Too many, right, to count. Time Magazine posted the top 10 most broken New Year's resolutions. They are lose weight, quit smoking, learn something new, eat healthier, get out of debt, spend more time with family, travel to new places, be less stressed, volunteer, and drink less. So I could probably say that I've broken at least half of those. You know, anybody else honestly here maybe broke a few of those, you know? Well, you know, as I was thinking about this, I was like, you know, compared to this scripture, if we can't even keep our own promises, how can we expect to keep them for others, right? And say, oh, I'll get you back. Just hit me up. Give me a 10 spot or whatever. Can I borrow that tool, brother? And, you know, or it sits on your shelf, you know, for a while. You know, those are just maybe small little promises or whatever, but still, it just goes to show that, you know, that's how we are. We just can't keep our promises, right? But God's promises, man, they're great. They're huge, man. They're huge. They will keep us from falling into temptation. We got to put them into practice, though. That's the key. So, how many people here have seen The Matrix? Been around for a little while. One of my favorite movies. In it, for you guys who don't know, but in it there are a couple guys. The main guy, his name is Neo, right? He is kind of doing his party thing, whatever, and through the club scene, whatever. He's searching for something, some truth, or something more. He's kind of done with the whole party scene and all that. And anyways, he eventually meets this man named Morpheus, right? And he kind of fills him in with some info. He's like, you know what? You know, we've been kind of looking at you, watching you, and you know, if you really want to know the deal, the truth, I can let you know, but you got to commit to this. Either you could take this blue pill and, you know, just go back your own way and go to your happily life, whatever, or you can take the red pill and you can see how far the rabbit hole goes, right? Well, he takes the red pill, right? And then what happens? His world has changed, right? All of a sudden, it's like, oh my gosh, I had no clue all this stuff, you know, was happening all around me, right? So, did his world change? Not how the movie played out, really. It was his awareness, if we remember that. It's as if some scales were removed from his eyes, right? We believers, a little bit like Neo, our scales were removed too, right? To see some of that hard truth. If we look again at 1 John 3:1 again on your table there, we'll see that second part there, therefore the world does not know us because it didn't know Him. Some of us weren't quite ready for a lot of changes that came with giving our life to Christ, right? How many of you guys have lost some friends, right? Maybe some family, maybe even lost your job, right? Because of your stance with the Lord. Again, not trying to, you know, look down on other people, but just because, you know, you're convicted and now you want to walk with Christ, but the world just doesn't like that. But you know what? In the end, we see that that's all good. Because if that's not happening, then maybe there's something wrong. But if it is, that's a good indication that you're walking with the Lord. indicates that you're on his side, he's got you. He's never going to leave you. He hasn't left me yet. Good 14 years, and he's never betrayed me. In the end, we win, right? We know the end of the story. Either way, that sting is gone. Well, I'll have to terminate sometime, right? If we're going to go, let's just go in a blaze of fire, right? On fire for the Lord. Come on, go with us. All right. All right. I want to hone in on something here really quick, the latter part of these verses. Something that he's been showing me lately, and some people call it the ladder of faith. For me, they're practical steps for growth in Jesus Christ. And I kind of call it my backslide prevention program, because it's constant forward motion. So if you look at the verse on the screen, it says, "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. To goodness, knowledge. Knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measures, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." So all these steps, right here, we're empowered by the Holy Spirit, right? He enables us to do this. He's already given us everything we need. I kind of mentioned that already. One of these things I kind of wanted to focus on here is brotherly kindness, because this one requires one another. Okay? So we men, if we admit to it, we like to fix things on our own, right? That's what we do, right? I got this. You know, dude, get away. Step back. I'll do this. But really quick, last week, one of the sisters here had an issue with a tire. And here we are, there's like four guys out here trying to get the sting off. And we all know a lot of us know how to change a tire. But we're out there, and you're like, no, let me at it. We're trying to pry this. We got the lugs off and everything. And I think it was a Beamer or a Mercedes or something. So it was more of a special car. So in my mind, I'm thinking, well, maybe it's got a special lock or something, whatever. And then another brother comes, finally, a younger guy, and he's like, oh, he used to work at Discount Tire. I found out later on. He's like, oh, that's one of those. Okay. He just kicks it, and the thing comes flying off. I guess after a while, it just mends like that. Like, kind of made me look dumb. I just thought that was funny. But getting back to the point here, we all like to fix things. But you know what? Spiritually speaking, that wasn't part of God's plan. If we look again at that second then part there, and John 3:1, look again, it says we, right? And there you see that, and sons, and you, my brothers, right? Since God is our Heavenly Father, this means He's given us each other, right? We're brothers. He's our Heavenly Father, that means we're kind of like heavenly brothers. We're not of this world, right? Again? So, you guys are more than brothers. And let me point you to a scripture real quick. It's not on the screen, but let me read it to you. It's in Isaiah 56:5. It says, "Even to them I will give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than that of sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name. They shall not be cut off." That's awesome, man. We're better than sons and daughters. We're one body with Christ. That's tight, man. That's tighter than tight. In Acts chapter 2, if you remember, in verse 42, you all heard of the verse, but it shows us a picture of the early first believers, the body of Christ. It says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers." I want to encourage you guys, on a practical level, to think about applying this brotherly kindness in maybe a way you're not kind of used to. Maybe think of it as a challenge, right? Get together with a brother in here. Maybe someone you don't even know. Maybe someone you kind of seen around for a little bit, you know. Connect with them. Have lunch with them. Maybe offer them lunch, you know. That's kind of practical, I think. You know, what brother's not going to want a free lunch, right? I've done that for the few last months. I've done that, and they've all taken 100% of the guys I've asked to the lunch, and they're like, okay, I'm down, right? Maybe one day they'll reciprocate. No, they've actually offered back. I think every one of them have. So that's cool. I can't wait because I like to eat. But get their number, right? Not just that. Ask them, what can you pray for them for? You know? We're called to bear one another's burdens. Encourage them. Lift them up. A few weeks ago, we were on a camping trip. Me and some guys you see on the screen there. It was fun. You know, it was kind of, not many of us. I think maybe there were 10 of us. And it was cool. I got to take my two boys, and probably seen in some of the pictures. Elijah's 13 right there, and Gabriel, the younger one, he's 10. But when we got there, and some of the brothers are right here in the house who went scattered around, but as soon as we got there, it just poured. And I was riding with Antonio, and we're going out west towards Grants, right? Yeah, Grants. I get Grants and Gallup confused. Anyways, we're going out that way, and there's this one downpour of rain, like straight ahead. He's like, oh, no, we're good. We're camping over there. And as we get closer, he's like, it's kind of scooting over, I don't know. And sure enough, right as we get to our destination, he's like, oh, my gosh, that's where we're camping. Are you serious, dude? And there's no roads back there. I saw it on the res. It's Johnny's father-in-law, right? That around there, that area. But anyways, we get there, and it just dumped a bunch of rain. And so the trucks got stuck, and it's already dark. And, you know, here we got two trucks stuck in these little trenches there. I didn't take any pictures. I think there's a couple around. But anyways, we got these two trucks stuck. One was bottom-centered. Is that what they call it? High-centered. And the other one, Johnny's truck just tipped into one of those little crevices, ravines. So now we're like, what do we do? And then we called, I'm not going to call his name out, right, because maybe you'd feel bad. But we called a brother, and like, hey, man, because we had another brother already waiting up on the campsite. Like, hey, can you come down and help us out? I was like, no, I already busted a tire. I'm not going down. I was like, what? Like, come on, man. He's like, no, I set my camp up, and I'm good. So I have a lot of grace for him. We'll be praying for him. But anyways, we work with each other, and it was cool because we just found some boulders, and we had like a jack stand, and we kind of jacked it up a little bit, kept shoving more boulders, and eventually Johnny's father-in-law got yanked us out and stuff. But it was cool because these boys got to see these men working with each other, and the world can do that, right? But we weren't cussing, we weren't like blaming each other, like, I told you to turn a hard left or whatever. No, we were just like, well, that's all right, man, we'll get through, you know, if we need to, we'll just leave the trucks here again tomorrow. And it was a real blessing, you know, to see how sons of God behave, you know. And that's really rare, you know. I know it is. For our kids coming up, our boys, they don't see that, man. What do they see? What's out there? What's on TV, the movies, what their boys are doing, right? Their friends. One real quick thing there on that trip as well. We took a little hike, and I really believe the Lord just put that for me to see because, you know, I'm here sharing it. So we were walking this trail going up, and as we're going up there, Antonio's right in front of me, and he kind of stops for a second. One of these, right? He keeps going. And I'm like, whatever. He just kept going. I just thought maybe he's seen a little fleck of gold, or I don't know. I don't know. He just kept going. So we go all the way up, and it took us about 3 hours, right? Trying to go all the way up and down. It was quite a hike, and you get up there, and you start to lose the air, and I had run out of water or whatever, and lugging my kids' stuff because, you know, they're the boys and whatever. So anyways, we come back down. We're almost to where our truck stopped because it wouldn't go anymore. It, you know, there's no road up there. So we get almost to the bottom, and we're all kind of feeling weak in the knees and just want to get back to the campsite. And we keep going, and then all of a sudden, Antonio's like, we go this way. And Johnny's like, no, we go this way. And Antonio's like, no, we go this way. I remember I kicked this weed right here on this fork of the road so that I would know which direction we came from. And then Johnny's like, oh, wait, oh yeah, you're right. No, yeah, you go this, we go this way. So all of a sudden, we change course, and we go back the way we originally came. And the visual I'm getting from that, I mean, I'm thankful that we didn't go down that wrong path because it was already getting dark and you're tired and could have ran into a mountain lion or something. I know there was one running loose or whatever. But on a spiritual level, we need our brothers, right, to keep us from going down that wrong road, right? It's easy to get off track. And sometimes we think we're doing the right thing. Like, no, I'm good. I know what I'm doing. Huh. If you got your brothers around you, you got that multitude of counsel, right? That safety. Where there's no counsel, we fail. I think it's Proverbs 11:14. But looking at the, you know, throughout the Bible, we see this example played out. We see Moses had Joshua, right? Yeah, right there. David had Nathan. Elijah had Elisha. They're all over the Bible. Peter, James, and Ron. John. Maybe Ron. Maybe there's Ronald. Paul and Barnabas. All these guys, man, they work with each other. So because he's given us everything that we need, we're equipped. We know that he's lavished this amazing love for us. We get to be called the sons of God. We've got his spirit, his word, Jesus. What else, man? We've got everything we need. That's it, brothers. I just want to encourage you guys to hook up, man. Be accountable with each other. Connect. Get a brother's number or something before you leave. Pray for one another. Bear with one another's burdens. And keep coming here, man. A lot of you guys are. Like I said, I've seen a lot of your faces for years. We got to stay in the body of Christ if we want to continue to walk forward and not slide back. Right? Amen? All right, let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much, Lord Father, for your word, Lord, for your spirit, Lord Father. For your promises, just so much, Lord. The list just goes on and on, Lord Father. I thank you for these men, Lord Father, that you've put here right now in this place, Lord Father. As your word says, as iron sharpens iron, so does one man's kindness sharpen another. I thank you for this time, Lord. We give this time to you, Lord, coming up right now, Lord. I pray that these men would just be able to open up their hearts, Lord Father, and put things on the table, Lord Father, where they need to be, Lord Father. If there's any man, Lord, that needs help, Lord Father, encouragement, a lift, boost, prayer, whatever it may be, Lord Father, I pray that they'd be open to do that, Father, and that we would walk away changed today, Lord Father, and walk in newness of life like you've asked us to be. We thank you and we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
That was awesome, Moses. Thank you. Gentlemen, we're about to kick into our table discussions. As you guys go into that and as you leave here, that was an awesome testimony of what Moses gave us. But through that, through the Holy Spirit working through him, God has given each man in here something. One thing. Think about one tool, one thing that God has spoken to you about today. I truly believe that the Holy Spirit is in this ministry. It's in this room. There's one thing that you can walk out that door with that can encourage you and help you in your walk. So think about that as you're sitting at your table. Think about that as you leave and then share it with somebody else. So thank you, gentlemen. Go ahead and begin your table discussions.